Hello and welcome to episode 10 of the Tea in the Treetops podcast. I'm Philippa and with me is Angela.
Hello.
And this is the official podcast of the Tea in the Treetops book review blog. Today is Tuesday, July 15th.
We've got lots of things to talk about today because it's been 3 weeks since the last time we did a podcast. So we've been reading lots and lots of books. And so we may as well get stuck straight into talking about them, I guess.
Yes. Do you want to go first or shall I go first with what you've just read? What have you been reading?
All right, I'll go first. I am in the middle of moving house still, so I haven't had a lot of time to read, and it has taken me 2 weeks to read one book, which is pretty rare for me these days. I'm usually pretty quick with them. But I read Thief's Magic by Trudy Canavan, and I have put a review up already, but I'll just talk a bit about it again. It's a brand new world. Like her other series, I haven't read any of her other books before, mm-hmm. So I was excited to find out that it was a brand new series and in a new world. And so it's a funny book because it's really, the world building is really amazing. Like the world, there's actually two separate worlds that are in this book. And there are two separate stories with two magic users who are sort of persecuted in different ways. But they never meet. And okay. the two stories never meet, they never cross paths, you know.
So like, do you think they will in a subsequent book?
I hope
so.
I was kind of hoping they would at the end of this one, but they didn't. I was really surprised. And so, yeah, it's just two completely separate. And they it's not each chapter, like they don't swap every chapter.
Yep.
Sometimes there's like three or four chapters that are with one person and then it goes through a few chapters to the other person. So mm-hmm. It's kind of confusing because you get stuck in one story and you're going along and then all of a sudden it goes, let's go to this other world that's completely different. And I don't know, it was a bit awkward. I didn't really like the structure of it. But the actual stories themselves were okay. It was enjoyable,
yep.
Each one of them. And I don't know. I liked the individual stories, but the way it was all put together was a bit. I didn't like it so much. But I'll keep reading the series.
You're willing to give book two a go?
Yes. Well, I like the worlds that she made, so I will keep going with that. But yeah, my review for that's already up. So if you're interested in that one, go and have a look. So I may as well mention now that we. Last week we took our little ones to see How to Train Your Dragon 2 at the movies. And they enjoyed that, I think.
I think so. They did pretty good. There was a lot of getting up and down, but I think that could be expected of a 3-year-old.
I think. Yeah, it was long for them. They were a bit over it by the end. But it was less scary than when we took them to see Little Mermaid a month or two ago, which for some reason Matthew was terrified of. But How to Train Your Dragon 2, he wasn't fazed at all. He loved it.
Okay. Well, that's good. Has he been willing to watch the first one yet? I've had no luck with Caitlin.
No, we haven't really been home a lot. We've been very busy. So, no, she's not interested in watching it again.
Nope. She liked going to see that one in the movies, but she's not interested in watching the first one at home.
Okay.
She preferred to watch Jake and the Land Pirates.
Oh, okay.
Her obsession, much to my dismay.
Matthew likes he likes Toothless and Hiccup.
Like, yes.
And he likes them when they fly together, which is good. That's the best part.
That is nice.
Yeah, the movie. I thought the movie was great.
Yes.
I would go and see it again, but
without children.
Without children and in 3D. But no. So anyway, what have you been reading?
I did a lot of reading because I'm on uni holidays.
Yeah.
I've been doing a lot of reading, but what's worse is I haven't been doing a lot of reviewing. So right. I'm now really behind on my review. So I think last time we did a podcast, I think, that's Miss Madeline in the background having a good chat. She's decided not to stay asleep for us today. So I think I just finished reading The Dollhouse, which was by an Australian author last time, and I've put a review of that now up online.
Yeah.
But since then I read the second book of a duology called Chasing Stars by Helen Douglas. The first book is After Eden, and I reviewed that on one of our earlier podcasts. And I'm writing a review for Chasing Stars as we speak at the moment. I really liked the ending. It was a bit sappy, but there was something about it that I really liked. I don't know. I really liked it. Anyway, I'm writing a review, so that will be up in the next couple of days. I also read a couple of Entangled Publishing YA books. So I read Perfected, which had the cool cover that I really liked, The Dress and the Cage, and Mirror X, which is the first of a trilogy, I believe, called The Van Wrinkle Project. So both of these books, though different, were in some ways really kind of similar, and it was a bit weird reading them one after another because they're both sort of dystopians, but they're sort of fluffy dystopians. Mirror X, at some points you're not sure if it's a utopian or if it's a dystopian type world. I don't know, because it's set in the future, and both kind of have cloning style elements to it, so but they're done in incredibly different ways. So in Perfected, girls are basically genetically made, like they're cloned. Well, sorry, they're not cloned because they're not... They're test tube bottle perfect babies. So I don't know if you'd really call that cloning. I don't know
genetically
how you...
engineered.
Yes, genetically engineered to be pets. Now, this was an interesting book because it was never, ever mentioned, but I felt that there was a really strong undercurrent. Maybe it's because I'm an adult, that, let's be real, if in the world you genetically engineered the perfect girls and then raise them from their birth to be, you know, I don't know, perfect ladies.
Yeah.
They weren't taught how to read or write. They don't know how to drive. They don't know how to function in the outside world. You cannot tell me they wouldn't end up becoming sex slaves for these rich, powerful men. These are expensive pets. Like, they're 250-odd grand
to make.
So that's that to me is... And look, there's a lot of undercurrent about it, but it's never actually said. And I don't know, there's something about that that rubbed me a bit the wrong way. I don't know.
I wonder if it's because it's a YA book and they didn't want to go there.
I don't know, but like these, like the pet that's the main character in this book, she is pretty much like a companion for like a 12-year-old girl, but they're not taught how to be companions for 12-year-old girls. They're taught how to be witty and to know about politics, American politics and things like that, so that they can entertain adult gentlemen. Like, I'm sorry, that's, there's something that just
escort kind of thing.
It does just sort of, I don't know if it's just blurred the lines a little bit. I don't know if that's what the author wanted us to get, or if it just, I don't know, it just did something a bit wrong there. It just, it was an interesting book. It was an easy read, but it was just a little bit off. And then the second one, which was The Mirror Project.
Yeah.
It was really interesting too, in the fact that it's set in the future. And the main character is basically, she would have died if she'd been in this accident in present time, or sorry, a little bit past present time.
Yep.
But her grandfather put her in a stasis chamber. So she's cryogenically frozen, and then she gets brought to life 1,000 years in the future.
Right.
And yes, basically you find out that she's really required to... I really don't know if this is considered a spoiler or not. I should have read the synopsis first. But she... So if you want to read this... If you want to read this book, please don't listen to this part, just in case it is a bit spoilerish. But basically, in this future world, all humans are clones and they have no ability to reproduce. And the main character actually spends the majority of the book pregnant. Now, I don't think I've ever read a YA book where the main character is pregnant.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't really think of it. So it was just... Yeah, there were two books that had some surprisingly mature themes, perhaps, even though the settings and the writing was still very YA. They were very easy reads. So yes, it was very interesting. And then I've read those. I also read, and this wasn't a review book, but because the movie's coming out, I wanted to read it. And that's If I Stay by Gail Forman, which everyone said was a huge tearjerker. Now, I love the book, do not get me wrong, but I didn't cry. Didn't cry, so I felt a bit put out by that. I was looking for a tearjerker, and instead I was like, oh, this is sad, but it's not it's not going to make me cry, which is okay. But I quite liked it, because where a lot of books, the parents are kind of a really low point in a YA book, her relationship with her parents is just as important as her relationship with her partner. The family is done beautifully. All the characters are done beautifully. Considering it's only a 200-page book, it's very rich in terms of character development.
Okay.
And then the last couple of books I have read is a book club book for this month, which was The Rosie Project by Graham Simsion, I think is how you say his last name.
Yep.
Like, and I loved it, which I wasn't expecting.
I'm reading it at the moment, so
I won't
no
say
spoilers.
Too much. The main character, it's never said, but he's pretty much got Asperger's. And so it's from his point of view, and that's very... It's a bit bombarding at first to read from that perspective.
It
but
just kept reminding me of
Sheldon.
Yeah, Sheldon Cooper. And
from the Big Bang Theory.
Yes, and it just, like a whole book devoted to him. But and I have to having to remind myself that it's in Australia. It's
yes,
an Australian
it
story,
is.
So the American accent in my head had to go away. I was like, no, it's set in Melbourne or somewhere. Yeah.
I loved it. It's one of the best books I've read in a while. I really liked it.
Oh,
really, really liked it. So I'm looking forward to talking about that at book club on the weekend. And then the very, very final book I read, yes, I read a lot of books in the last few weeks, was actually the first chapter book I've read out loud to my 3.5-year-old. So we read The Enchanted Wood by Enid Blyton, and that's the first of the Faraway Tree books.
Right, yeah.
So that's been a really nice thing to be able to share. And I think you decided to try doing a chapter book too, and we were going to talk about that.
Yeah, we've...
A little bit.
We've started off... Do you want to start with...
With what I've done? Well, it was the whole idea to read a chapter book. I wasn't actually sure if you could read a chapter book to a 3.5-year-old, to be honest. I didn't know if her attention span would cope with it. But I have a Harry Potter... So the story behind it is I have a Harry Potter mug, and she was very interested and wanted to know about the characters one day. And I was like, oh, you know, this is a movie and a book as well. And she decided she wanted to try watching the movie. Now, she actually, much to my surprise, sat throughout the entire...
Oh, really?
The entire movie of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Now, it's a pretty scary movie.
She got a bit scared. Yeah. Not by parts that I expected her to get scared by. She got scared by completely different parts. So she didn't like Nearly Headless Nick.
Oh, yeah.
She didn't like the ghosts. And she didn't like the flying Halloween pumpkins. Those are the things that really upset her. Not the trolls or you know,
that's interesting.
Voldemort or anything. But because she sat there, I thought maybe I could try reading a Harry Potter. Now, Harry Potter, we decided pretty quickly, was a little bit too complex. So
yeah, it's a pretty complicated story.
Even though it's still a child's book, it's more complicated. And so I decided to download
it's
on my Kindle.
Upper middle grade, really.
Yeah. I decided to download this. The sample chapter of The Enchanted Wood, which is one of my favourite books from childhood, by Edith Blyton. And she sat and fell asleep brilliantly for me. And so it's become a bit of a routine over the last 3 weeks for us to read. And she curls up and falls asleep on me, which has been quite lovely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Earlier than normal?
Yeah, some nights quite quickly. So that's been really good. Yeah.
We've started reading the A.A. Milne... There are four books in this box set. So two Winnie the Pooh books, and then there's two of the rhymes, books of rhymes. When we were very young, and now we are six, they're called. And they've got really gorgeous little rhymes in them that are perfect for three-year-olds. When I heard how well Caitlin was doing with The Enchanted Forest, I thought, well, why don't we try actually reading Winnie the Pooh itself, because It's organised into chapters, but each chapter is like a little story about one of the characters.
Yep.
The first day we read the first two chapters, which was about 30 pages worth, so he didn't do too badly. And he actually, we stalled there a little bit because he loves reading the second chapter over and over again, which is the one where Winnie the Pooh gets stuck in Rabbit's hole and can't get out and has to stay there for a week until he gets thinner again. Which is a really bizarre story, but because he eats too much while he's inside Rabbit's house and he can't get out the door. Anyway, he loves reading that one. So eventually we'll get through. I think my husband has been reading it to him in the evening when they go to bed as well. So we'll gradually make our way through that one. And the second, like, the characters like Tigger and the kangaroo I think the kangaroo's name's Kanga.
And there's a kangaroo in Winnie the Pooh. I never knew.
There is, yeah. But I think Kanga and Tigger, you're a poet and you didn't know it. I think they're only in the second book. So sometimes he goes, I want to read about Tigger, and we have to go and find the second book and look it up.
Yes.
So anyway, he's gradually enjoying those more and more. But I haven't... I was looking through my book as I'm moving house, like packing the books up and stuff. I realised a lot of the middle grade stuff I have is sort of for older kids who can be able to read it themselves. So I don't really have any really young kids stuff. Although I do think that my dad probably read me The Hobbit when I was quite small, but not three. But so, and that's pretty much the only one we have that I'd probably be willing to read him, I think. Because Harry Potter's a bit too old and...
Yeah, I did a lot of research on this when I decided to do it, and I have a list. Maybe I'll do a post on it on suitable books. If anybody else had any suggestions, feel free. But Edith Blyton came up, so did a couple of the Roald Dahl books.
I saw Roald Dahl.
James and the Giant Peach is considered a really good introductory one.
Yep.
There's also apparently a series, I've never read it, called The Magic Treehouse, which is very simple but quite fun. First one's a dinosaur one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and I think they travel through time and stuff or something through a magic tree house, I think. So, yes, but I've also found that I hadn't planned on it, but I've been reading to her on my Kindle, and that works quite well as a bedtime activity because the lights can be out.
Yep.
There's no pictures, so she's got nothing to do but basically sit there and calm down and listen. So,
yeah.
So it's been quite good.
If you'd write a post about those books, that'd be great because I'd love to know as well. I saw the BFG is being made into a film.
Yes.
I saw an article about that recently. And
that scared me as a child, the BFG.
I thought it was quite scary too. I remember thinking that
giants falling down the holes.
There were parts of it that were a bit scary. And I think The Witches as well, I found that one a bit scary too. Mm-hmm. But maybe I'll have to... I don't remember if I've read James and the Giant Peach before, so maybe we'll have to read that one with him and see how he likes it.
Yes.
But I'll have to get a copy of that one because I haven't got any of those.
But, yeah. So,
anyway.
Maybe worth doing a sample because like that downloading the sample chapter feature on Amazon was really good because then you could tell if he liked it or not.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Okay, so I'm reading... The Rosie Project at the moment, obviously, the book club book. And what are you reading right now?
So I literally only just started it, but it only just got put up on NetGalley. And that's, it's another Australian author. It's called Masquerade. And it's by Kylie Fornasa, I think is how you put it. And it's being published by Penguin Teen Australia. So that's coming out in about another week, I think it is, the end of July.
Oh, really? Oh, my God.
Yeah, so... I don't know. I heard about this at the Penguin Teen Australia Live event and I thought it sounded really interesting. I just like the idea of, you know, Carnival and Venice and, you know, all that opulence. I thought it sounded really interesting. So I'm reading that one right now and hopefully it's good. And then I think after I finish that, I've got another week basically till uni starts. So I'm hoping to still get a bit of reading done this week. After that, I'm hoping to read... Air of Fire, which is the final Sarah J. Maas.
It's not the final one.
Oh, is it more than a trilogy? Okay, more than a trilogy. Oh, yeah. Okay,
I think
okay.
She's got like six or seven.
Okay, all right. Well, in that case, it's not the final. That's okay. That's probably a good thing. But anyway, I'll read that next because you've already read it. So we can do a joint review maybe on the next podcast or maybe a bit later, seeing I don't think it's coming out till September.
Yeah.
And then I've also got a book called Stillpoint, which is the final of the Katie Kavanitsky, I think is how you pronounce her last name, series. The first one being Awaken and the middle one being Middle Ground. Believe it or not, but this was a series that I actually used the main character's name is how I came up with Madeline's name.
Oh,
the main
character's
name is Madeline, and I was reading the second book while I was pregnant with her, and that's how her name got to be on our shortlist. So yes, that's probably the other book I'll be reading over the next fortnight, maybe some more, we'll see.
Well, I've got so many books on my list. I've gone back to the overwhelmed phase. like, especially because I've got behind because of moving.
Yep.
Thankfully, almost all of them are on my Kindle, so it's not too hard for me to find them and, like, yep, you know, get into them. But I've got Trader's Blade by Sebastian de Castell, which is sounds to me like some kind of Three Musketeers type fantasy one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's had some really great reviews from people who I usually take my recommendations from, yep, such as our friend Hannah, who mm-hmm is part of our bloggy stuff, and Anya and Mogsy from Biblio Sanctum, and all people like that have rated it 5 stars, which indicates to me that I should love it.
Yep.
So I'm really looking forward to that one. It's coming out in, I think it sort of came out at the start of July.
Okay.
And yeah, I'm looking forward to getting into that one. The other one I've got a copy of to read, which is coming, which has already been released as well, I think, is mm-hmm called Shimmer by Paula Weston. It's the third one in the... The first one's called Shadows.
She's a Brisbane author.
She is, yeah.
So she's from Brisbane, our hometown.
Yeah, there was the launch of this third book, Shimmer, was at Riverbend Books here in Brisbane a couple of weeks ago, and I only found out about it, like, on the day that it was on, so I wouldn't have been able to go to it, unfortunately. But this series is a paranormal, like, angels and demons type one with what do you call them? Refrain, the fallen angels type Refrain thing.
Yeah.
And it, but which is sort of just another angels demons book, but it's set in like a coastal town in North Queensland, so it feels like it's kind of local. and the way they, because they're Australians in it as well, the way they talk, and she's obviously, she lives here, so she, you know, speaks like this anyway, but the way they speak is very familiar, you know, so
yes,
it doesn't feel like a foreign book. It just feels really, it's great to read, like, it just feels, yeah, quite normal. And also they say some of the things they say is really Aussie, like I think in one of the other ones she said she got hit in the back and it hurt like a bastard or something, which is a really Aussie thing to say. That is a
very Australian which phrase.
You wouldn't not hear in a book normally. and it does have a lot of swearing in it, which I don't have a problem with, but some other people might. And yeah, I just really enjoyed the first two books. So hopefully there's actually 4 planned, I think. Okay. So this is not the last one, but yeah.
They got really great reviews, the first couple, because they I think they must have been out in Australia before they got them released in America.
I think the first one was released a few years ago, and then it was released more recently again, overseas.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah. I think the second.
It's been on my to-read list. I did have that signed copy, but we gave it away as a
Well, I have a copy. I have a copy of the first two in paperback format, if you want.
Yeah, see, the reality is, unless it's on my Kindle, it's going to probably not
be read. Yeah, well, they're really good. I recommend them.
Okay. I'm sure I would love them.
They've got really sort of swoony romance, but very subtle. Like, it's not in-your-face kind of romance. It's not insta-love. It's a bit hot and cold, like sometimes they're like, you know, about, you know, really romantic, and then the next minute they're not talking to each other, so weird like that, but okay, but it is it's good when it's on, it's good, and very exciting. So I've got that coming up, I hope. If I get around to it. I don't have it on my Kindle, so it's gonna take me a while probably, but that's okay. There was, I don't know if you saw, but there was recently to time to line up with the Soccer World Cup final was a short story from J.K. Rowling. It's set in the Harry Potter universe.
Yeah.
It was about the Quidditch World Cup final, but in...
Okay.
At this time, you know how the Harry Potter series was kind of set in the 90s, like... They're pretty
when
much
she the first started like writing
the Harry Potter.
Yes, they were set
kids are about the same age as us. So
I think the first one came out in 97, right?
I'm not sure, but I think maybe? The kids were supposed to have been born around the same year as we were. So they're
okay.
So now they're about the same age as us. I'm not going to go into that any further. But they have the kids are all born and everything, and they're, you know, a little bit grown up. But it's a strangely formatted short story. You can read, I should say, you can read it on the Pottermore website. I do think you have to sign up for Pottermore, but it doesn't cost anything to do that. I think you just sign up.
Yep.
and you go to the Daily Prophet part of it, and it's a report on the World Cup, the Quidditch World Cup final, written by Ginny Potter and Rita Skeeter.
Oh, okay.
So Ginny is actually writing about the actual game, mm-hmm. and so it's got these paragraph snippets from each one of them alternating. But Rita is looking at this special box where the Dumbledore's army people are sitting and watching the game in this VIP box. So it's kind of weird because, obviously, like, are they really big celebrities now? You know, like, do people in the Wizarding world really care that Ron is, like, not cheering for, what's his name, Victor Crumb? And, like, it's really strange. But okay. So she's reporting on the antics that they're getting up to in the box. And Ginny's actually talking about what's going on in the game itself. And it's a final between Bulgaria and Brazil.
Okay.
And, yeah, it's a cute story, but we don't learn anything new that we didn't know before. Like, it's got all... If you've been reading the stuff that has been out there about what J.K. Rowling has said about the adults, adult Harry Potter and them, then there's no surprises. But, yeah, so it's talking about their kids and... what they're doing. It's worth a read just for the hell of it, but I don't know, it didn't completely blow me away with amazingness.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I feel slightly ashamed because I knew that this had happened and I'd seen a lot of headlines, but I didn't read a single article about it.
I'd seen it around as well, and I thought last night I was like, oh, I should go and have a look at that. So, yeah, it's not very long. Mm-hmm. It didn't take long to read.
So, aside from that, I thought it was really interesting. I have a lot of difficulties at uni this semester because I can't actually attend lectures.
Yeah.
Because I haven't got daycare for my little one. So, I had to really, really scour the course list to try and find subjects that were classified as flexible delivery. Now, unfortunately, there's no actual list of these flexible delivery courses, so it became quite difficult. But basically it means it's all web-delivered. And I have come up with two, and they're fairly unique, but I thought that they were actually quite suitable for my reading tastes. Yeah. And I'm studying The Philosophy of Time Travel, which is great because I love time travel stories, so I'm quite looking forward to that. And I'm also studying Religion and the Supernatural. So, again, I think that could be interesting. Apparently the first week is on zombies, ghosts, witches... vampires, all covered.
Wow.
So there we go. I think that could be some great research for my my love of paranormal and time travel.
Yep.
Unfortunately, I go back to studying next week, so my reading levels will go down.
Yeah, but you'll be studying some cool stuff.
Cool stuff, but this is the problem with study. As soon as it becomes something you actually have to get tested on, generally it loses its excitement. I don't know about you, but I find it often loses its appeal.
Well, you might have to do some research on all these different things in different cultures, I suppose, won't you? So it might be quite interesting to find out the differences between witches in English culture versus, like, you know.
Yes.
I don't know. Well,
we'll find out.
You'll have to report back.
I will have to report back on how it's going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, we haven't had a lot to say today because we've been so busy, and we'll try and definitely have some kind of discussions next week, I think, next fortnight.
We've also been being distracted by a very talkative 14-month-old.
Yep. No, that's what she does, so that's okay. Thankfully, Evie still likes to sleep while we're recording. Well... So just on the blog this week, it's a little bit quiet around there at the moment, but we have done a top 10 for this week. Is one that Natasha said she had great fun putting together, which was our favourite movies that were based on books. So there's actually more than 10 there. She put loads up.
That was hard. There were so many good ones.
There were so many. And we started off thinking of actual TV shows based on books, and there was just way too many. Oh, no, it was our favourite TV shows, wasn't it?
I think it was just favourite TV shows. I don't think that had to
be based on a book
books.
Thing. But because we had so many movies, we decided to narrow it down to book ones. That's right. So, go and have a look. And she's actually put a bit of trivia about each movie too.
Oh,
did
she
that?
Did have fun. No, I haven't looked at the post yet.
Oh, you should. It's worth it. It's pretty good. So have a look at that. And there will be some more reviews coming soon.
I have a lot to write.
Yeah. And I have a lot to read. So once I get around to doing that, we'll be updating it. So that's all we've got for today. But if you'd like to send us any feedback or send us some suggestions, you can do that by our email address, contact@teaandthetreetops.com. Or you can contact us via Twitter @teatreetops. And all of our book reviews and other booky stuff is at teaandthetreetops.com. Thank you very much for listening today, and have a great week. And we'll see you later.
See you later. Bye.
Bye.
Most delicious bug, yum yum. Jumped in the poo. It was nice and cool.
Then there were
nine speckled
four speckled frogs. Okay, do it.
Five speckled frogs went out one day over the hills and far away. Mother frog,
you got the wrong song, haven't you?
Yeah.